Hey, it's Paul Bayness of GreatDad.com, and I'm here with my weekly series talking to fathers. And as a special treat, we're talking today about positive intelligence, which, as you know, I've totally integrated into my life. And I've got another positive intelligence coach here today, Colin Thompson, who has a son who's 4 years old. And I think he's going to tell us a little bit how positive intelligence got him through the terrible twos. And we'll just have a conversation about what he's learned in positive intelligence and how it's affected his coaching client. So welcome, Colin.
Hey, Paul, the funny thing is, when I was a young father, well, I've never been a young father, I'm an old guy, but when I was a father for the first year or two, my mind was absolutely my worst enemy when it came to raising my son. I have two kids now, and I got to tell you, after
Okay.
going through positive intelligence, I can say that when it comes to being a father, my mind is my best friend because my mind helps me to raise these two kids in love and happiness and empathy. And I've avoided a lot of the early stage frustration the fathers have. I look forward to sharing with your audience how they can also avoid some of those frustrations by using positive intelligence.
Yeah, but maybe first of all, let's talk about why you think we do get so frustrated with our kids. Why do we let them take advantage of our mind and get really, have these crazy reactions that are quite often really outsized to the problem at hand?
Well, I can't speak to other fathers, but I can speak to my experiences. It's because, Paul, a lot of times my kids just don't listen.
Oh, yeah.
It's simple. As a father, as parents, we want to give our kids guidance. And when we know, well, when we think we're giving them good guidance and they don't listen, it gets frustrating because if you're at work and you give your team members or your subordinates or anybody instructions, they usually follow them. So this may be the only situation where little people are not listening to you. So it's very frustrating, especially when you have the stress of work, the stress of your spouse. So I'm sorry, the love of work and the love of your spouse on your mind. It gets frustrating. And for me anyway, it gets frustrating because, I had to learn the hard way that, young kids just don't listen. Young kids, all they want to do, Paul, is have fun. And
Sure.
as adults, we've forgotten that life is really a big portion of it. It should be about having fun.
Boy, I those are really wise words because we totally forget about it, and most of the time, there are stressors, there are real problems, but separating out what's a real problem and what is just a fake problem, and looking for the joy in every situation is just that just should be all of our mantras. So do you think positive intelligence has been helpful for you to find that, refine having fun?
Well, Paul, let me just come clean and tell you that I dove with both feet into positive intelligence. Literally, I started positive intelligence back in 2021, and literally yesterday I was doing the application, the app. So I'm very much a believer of not just positive intelligence, but I'm a believer in what you believe in happens, right? So if there's other tools you believe in, if you lean into those tools and buy in and really buy in, they will work. So positive intelligence has absolutely helped me just become I'm going to say, a happier person. And if you're a happier person, then all the different elements of your life, or the pillars in your life, all those pillars become happier or better or more understandable. So yes, positive intelligence has definitely helped me to become a better person and definitely to be the father I knew I could be. So it was very important to me.
Yeah, well, maybe we should talk about that. The fact that there's always a lot of conversation within coaching today about changing mindset. And sometimes it's presented to us as kind of like magical thing. Like if you work with a coach for 10 weeks, you're going to have a change in your mindset. And I think both of us probably really love the part of positive intelligence that it is a very specific program rooted in neuroscience, the latest ideas of the plasticity of the brain and being able to change the way the brain functions. The fact that it works at th there are three different stages of it, realizing that you got a problem and doing something to stop it and then finding a positive solution. What has been your experience with your clients as well as yourself?
Well, with my clients, it's been it's, as a coach, not in positive intelligence, but as you're coaching your clients, typically what happens is at some point, maybe it's your third or fourth coaching session, they have an aha moment. With positive intelligence, I can tell you, as soon as we do the, I want to say maybe week three or four, when we get into empathy, almost every client has an aha moment. And that's really about looking at the younger picture and saying, you know what? I forgot about this person. I have empathy for others, not for myself. So I feel like to say that, you know, when going through the program, my clients really get that mind shift early. And what they do, they realize that when they're having negative emotions, they're really hurting themselves. And that's when they say, you know what? Okay, I'm going to buy into this. I'm really going to lean in and learn how to be that sage mindset. So I always see that shift. So my clients, just like coaching without positive intelligence, around the third, fourth session in the program, around the third or fourth week, they also see a mind shift. But what's different is they now have a program that builds upon itself each week. And it builds upon yourself, if that makes sense. It builds upon your experience because you're learning more of your saboteurs, the people inside your head who are attacking you or inside your heart who are attacking you. You learn all about them. And then you have that shift that says, okay, now let's go positive. And almost every client has that major aha moment. And once they have the aha moment, they buy into what they're doing. That's the benefit of the program. It's really about the client, and they see themselves changing each and every week that you're in it.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well. It's a progression. It's not something that's magical. Yes, there are some kind of coaching buzzwords that I'm not in love with, but the science and the way, as you say, the program is very clear, is getting to different steps. It really does show there's positive reinforcement, like you say, around weeks three or four. Do you do groups with both men and women, or do you really focus on men alone?
Oh, men and women. Absolutely. I like the diversity of the groups. I got to go back a second. I got to tell you, the good thing about how we coach with positive intelligence, we're not coaching on theory. We've been through the program. And I went through the program in 2021. And I got to tell you, it was different. It was different. And at times I said, this is crazy. I mean, I am tired of hearing Shabazz's voice. I am tired of hearing his voice. I'm tired. So by going through it at the end saying, wow, week three, I didn't give up. Week four, I didn't give up. I didn't just walk my way through it. I really bought into it. So when I was finished, I was like, wow, that was great because I finished this book, right? Yeah. I watched this movie until the end. And so and my clients go through it and they're getting frustrated. I can tell them, look, I know it's going to be challenging right now. Just stick into it. And I'm not saying it's just from theory because I'm saying it from experience. And I think that's what's the difference, right? We actually went through it. And my pod, there was, I want to say, five of us. Some decided to go forward and grow it and whatnot, be certified, and some didn't. So it's not for everybody. Okay. It's not for everybody. But for those who it's for, it really does work. It's really effective. And here I'm talking about this 3 years later, and I'm still using it, not as a coach, but as a person, right? Because I understand it's that repetition and the need to continue to do your reps. So I think it's something that definitely can change lives and impact people positively. And my clients are seeing that.
Yeah, we probably should explain that that it doesn't require an enormous amount of commitment every week. It's an hour over the weekend to watch a video. And then there are these things called PQ reps that you do through the voice of the leader of the program, who unfortunately all the recordings are done with his voice. So if you don't like his voice, you're kind of in a little bit of trouble. But it's not an enormous amount of time commitment. You have to find 15 minutes every day. But I think you're right. I think some people they lose steam around, you know, around that 3 or 4 week time point because they're maybe cynical about it, or they haven't seen the change yet, or something else. What kind of advice do you give to people who are feeling that? I mean, is it mostly like, you got to believe, you know, you're going to get to the end
yeah.
and you'll feel something?
Yeah. So if somebody is going through the program and they're feeling that, because again, that's the three, once they shift from the saboteur focus to sage focus, either we have you or we're losing you a little bit. And what I tell people, what my clients is, yeah, now this is, because remember, when you're going from a negative mindset to positive mindset, be careful, because this is when your saboteurs are going to attack you. And that's what that is. When you get cynical, when you say, I don't know about this, those are your saboteurs that are inside you. So I say, get ready, because once you go to sage, you're going to start getting attacked. If you want to stay negative, you will not get attacked. Your saboteurs will attack you. And I say saboteurs, these are the voices you have inside of you telling you you're not strong enough, telling you you're not good enough, telling you you can't do it, bringing you all sorts of wonderful sounding lies. It sounds so wonderful. But that is when you start having doubt, that's when they're really attacking you because they feel threatened. So I tell my clients, get ready, because from here on out, you're going to, once you start saying, becoming cynical, it's not working, that's when you really got to lean into the program. So to me, again, when I went through it, that's when I said to myself, okay, Colin, he's right, because I'm really hearing more of my negative voices now telling me to stop, telling me this is not real. So that's what I tell my clients, you really must lean in and get ready to be attacked. And that's when you have to really believe in the program.
Right, because those negative voices, like you say, it's a kind of a conflict, the fact that they're so appealing, yet they're so negative. They're telling you all the things you can't do. And almost everybody has these voices. We're kind of pre-programmed and wired to have all kinds of negative reactions to ourselves, to people around us, to situations. But it's very evolutionary from helping us, you know, stay alive. But they're actually holding us back at the same time. It's a very strange dichotomy.
Yeah, and it's interesting because even with my clients who are not in a program, I was coaching one-on-one, they'll have comments about how, you know, they must accomplish these things to feel good about themselves. And I tell them, well, you should feel good about yourself regardless of that, right? So sometimes you can use techniques from the positive intelligence outside of the positive intelligence coaching just day to day. But I find a lot of my clients, they want to act as if they must, these negative voices push them to greatness. I got to remind them, could you have achieved that without feeling, if you don't achieve it, you're a failure? No, Colin, I couldn't have. So right, because that's mindset. So we have to help them to understand that everything you achieve as positive in life can be achieved from a positive mindset. You don't have to have the pressure that you must succeed. So it's what I like about it is using some techniques from the program in coaching outside of the program, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's something that really interests me about the program, is because as a former type A person who was really driven by those negative voices, I think there's always this worry among people that they're not going to have the same motivation in the same way. But when you think about leadership and the fact that some leaders are just, they're happy and they're welcoming and they're, you know, they're inviting versus somebody who yells at you all the time and is clearly, you know, driven. You know, people like that who are very successful despite the fact that they're not angry, right?
The drill sergeant, right? My football coaches, my wrestling coaches, those guys are tough, right? And we did good. We won. But I think it's because, you know, there's not enough positive reinforcement when it comes to achievement. People say, you know what, I grew up in poverty and me wanting a better life, that drove me to succeed. Mm-hmm. Even if you go back to, you know, some of the people whom apparently have made it in life, right? They want to give you a negative story. It's funny, Paul, because if you go now, and we're doing a podcast, right? We're doing a podcast. And there are some Facebook groups where people are looking for guests for podcasts. And I always said to myself, wow, it seems that you must have a sad story. You must be coming from somewhere negative and have overcome something, right? As opposed to, I had a great life. You know, it was good. Nobody wants to hear that. Paul, open a newspaper and you show me one really positive headline on the front page. You're not going to find that. You're not going to find it. So I think people are geared more to thinking that they need this tough experience. They need this negative, not negative mindset, but they need to be pushed in a negative, they need to overcome something to achieve something.
Yeah, I think that, don't you think that comes from the fact that most of the heroic stories we have are from people who overcame, and they're famous stories because, you know, they're relatively rare. I mean, if you grew up in a nice home with parents who loved and cared for you and you were successful, hey, that's just, you know, you had it all, you know, you had it all from the beginning. But I mean, you've got a young son. I've got, my kids are 19 and 23 now. So I hope what I've done was correct, because I did kind of more follow the idea, like, be positive, teach them to be more accepting and all those, you know, more positive qualities, rather than yelling at them how they could be better every day. Now, you live in China now, and you must see that kind of in, I don't know if a lot of your clients are Chinese or if they're from the States or wherever, but in the, like, the classic tiger mom who really, you know, hits her kid every day to get, like, better and better. Does that work, or is it better to start them off with good feelings?
So you mean my wife? And it's funny because my wife, who is Chinese, you know, we don't have to, but she's aware of it. And before we had kids, she would see the other tiger moms and say, "I'll never be like that."
Right.
And now she is a, maybe not a tiger mom, maybe she's a, what do you call a baby tiger? I'm not sure what you call a baby tiger mom, because I see her going down that road and I understand it better now. If in China, it's very competitive and children here are being pushed, and they're being pushed not because their parents want to push them, but because other parents are pushing their kids. So in order for their kids to be able to compete in school or whatever, they must also do that. It's not healthy, but you know, but luckily I'm here. I'm here. For example, my son is 4 years old. He started school last September for the first time. Other kids go to school at 2 years old, three kindergarten, 2 years old, 3 years old. I told my wife years ago, no way will our kid start school that young, because he must learn how to have fun first. And I learned that, you know, they pass a law here saying that kids under the age of kids in kindergarten cannot get homework, and they cannot be taught math or spelling or anything like that. All they can do is draw, make things, and have fun. And they had to do the law because kids here at age of three were being taught how to read and learn in school, which is too early. I mean, it's a lot of pressure here. So being here, the tiger moms do exist. I understand how they exist. But luckily, in my household, she had the balance of a, if she's a tiger mom, I'm probably a koala daddy.
Well, my wife is Asian American, and she fights that impulse too, because that's what she was taught. She has two very loving parents, but definitely the expectation was a lot, more hardcore than probably you and I would look at it. I'm trying to
Yeah.
raise kids who are more happy with themselves than happy for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you find yourself with your 4 year? You've got a 4 year old and like a.
I have a 4-year-old and I have a 2-year-old daughter, Kaylee. And I can tell you a quick story, if you don't mind, about
Sure.
how positive intelligence really literally saved my mindset when raising my son. And so probably 2.5 years ago, we had a nightly, I would get triggered to a category 10 storm in my head every single day. I mean, just seeing red. And the sad thing about it is, it was happening with my son every single day. Now, I don't know what you call it in your house, but in my house, my wife calls it our nightly World War III. I call it Quincy's nighttime, because from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock, my job was to get him to bed, get him showered, get him bathed in bed. So what you would see, Paul, is as his he'd have that after shower energy, and as his energy went down over 2 hours, my frustrations would just go up and he wouldn't go to sleep. And I would just leave that room very triggered. And I said to my wife one night, "I don't understand why this boy can't go to sleep. Colin, a crying baby can't sleep." Because I would end up yelling at him, "Quincy, go to sleep." Yeah. I said, he'd end up crying and it was just bad, Paul. And what I said was, I said, "You know what? I have to address this because I don't want my son seeing his father getting so upset every night." And I realized, having empathy through the program, I'm learning that one, I'm hurting my son, and two, I'm hurting myself. Right? So I had to really lean into the program, and I really did three things. The first one, develop empathy for the situation, my son and myself, right? Because he was 2 years old. And I said, "You know what? This little 2-year-old boy, all he's doing is being a 2-year-old boy. He's not doing it on purpose."
Right.
So you know, I have to have that mindset. Also, when I get upset, so what the program taught me is, with having empathy for yourself, when you get mad, imagine yourself taking a razor and just what's called slashing yourself all over your body. So that's what I do. So I try not to get mad at myself because I'm hurting myself. Second thing was, I visualized myself putting him to sleep and not getting upset. Now, I had to visualize that a lot of times to make me not get upset. But once I was able to visualize myself taking a positive reaction, I then tried it. Didn't work right away. Didn't work right away. But in time, I was able to get through that event without getting triggered. And after I did that, it proved to me that if you really have empathy, visualize, and actualize, it does work. So now our best time is nighttime. And my daughter, who, and I tell you what, I realized that he wasn't going through his terrible twos. He was growing through his terrific twos. And my daughter has never seen me at category 10. She's never seen me upset. And when she goes to bed now, it's the same thing he was doing, but it's so different. Now I watch them, I read books, we have a good time. It's so different. So that proved to me, because I got to tell you, Paul, that was a very major issue in my house, the nighttime. Oh, yeah. And now it's the best time. Now, my older fathers, my fathers who've been parents longer than me, they said, Kyle, that's great. Homework's gonna come get you. They said, get ready for homework. Homework's gonna get you. You better get ready for that. I haven't experienced homework yet, but I'm over the bedtime. First step.
Well, it's really good lesson. I mean, I think positive intelligence is quite often presented to people more as a solution for their work life. You know, like trying to, the whole idea is mental fitness, developing mental fitness, the ability to, the resilience to kind of get through every day's challenges. But I love the fact that you noticed that in your relationship with your son. You know, for some people, it'd be their relationship with their partner. It doesn't have to be at work, because it works so effectively mm-hmm. at home. And the fact that you took that lesson to heart and really pointed it where you realized, you know, you had this challenge with your son, which sounded like it must have been really hard. Did you feel guilty or bad when all these, you know,
I felt, no. Okay. When I was getting upset each night, I felt like it was his fault.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not listening.
Yeah.
So I had to really work on it. And what I didn't really, the whole backstory, because I didn't start there. It's sort of like when you're building up your muscles, day one you go to the gym, you're not going to bench 200 pounds, right? You start light and work your way up. So what I did, I started first with pet peeves. I said, okay, I know I can't handle a mindset for nighttime. Let me first handle a pet peeve. So my household, really quick, my wife usually leaves the microwave door open. And it drives me crazy, because I walk into the kitchen, the light's on, we're wasting money, wasting power. I would slam it shut, so she heard it. I want her to know I'm mad, right? So I said, let me start here. And as mentioned, empathy. Let me develop empathy for my wife. So I said, let me see what happens. So one day, I just watched, right? And what I found was she was in the kitchen cooking something with Quincy all over her leg, right? Grabbing on her leg. My daughter Kaylee in her arm, right? And she's cooking something. The microwave goes off. She reaches into the microwave, pulls out the cup, and there's no way to close the microwave, because she has baby in one hand, Quincy grabbing onto her leg. I'm cupping one hand. I said, oh. And then I felt guilty. Then I said to myself, you know what? I never realized that she's juggling so many things. That's why it's open. But empathy first, right? Then I said, let me visualize what I'm going to do next time. The next time the microwave door is open, no reaction. I walk in the kitchen, open again. Paul, I just went over there, click, and carried on. I softly closed it, made the click sound, and I carried on. Click, carry on, click, carry on. And I used that same approach to so many different pet peeves, right? The whole thing about just walking over, clicking it closed, and carrying on. And that really helped me develop the belief that if I just focus, have empathy, visualize a better solution, and actualize, make it happen, things can work. And over time, other pet peeves started going down. Then, after a while, I was able to build up the mental fitness. Now I can bench press 250 pounds mentally, right? Then I said, let me handle nighttime. So it wasn't day one. I had to build it up over time first. Then I said, okay, I'm strong enough now. Let me go handle nighttime. So it was really a building up, going to the mental gym every day for about 3 months before I could handle that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just go through life though with those kind of pet peeves. They're just moment after moment, hour after hour. It's all those little things that just hit you, and you're really angry about them. And, you know, the open microwave, or the dishes in the sink, or the door left open, whatever it is. And one of the kind of the basic things of positive intelligence, which isn't that dramatic, though it is dramatic if you haven't realized it, is that when thinking about it, just realizing that you're angry about something silly mm-hmm. or small is really the start. It's like what's the thing about, you have to recognize it before you can kind of treat it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you have to do that.
You have to be mindful, right? So one of the first, as you mentioned, one of the first steps is being mindful of what's taking place. And that means, okay, I'm being triggered. Okay, I'm getting upset. I tell my clients, really just take note of when you're getting upset, when things are triggering you, and don't try to change it. I say, you know what? If you get mad when somebody is walking on, it's up standing on the escalator, not walking up, don't get mad, right? Just recognize, I'm getting triggered, I'm getting mad. Get mad and just recognize, because soon you're going to start recognizing you're being triggered a lot, okay? And then once you recognize how I'm being triggered, then say, okay, take one of those triggers and do something different, right? So it's more being aware, being mindful of you being sabotaged, you being triggered. And then after you recognize you're doing a lot, then try to change your actions, you change your behavior. But don't try to change your behavior right away, right? Be more mindful of what's happening first. And I found that clients are more willing to accept being aware than taking action. Because taking action, as you know, is hard to do. So just be aware first. And then after that, you can be triggered. I mean, you can take action on being triggered. Now, Paul, one thing I'll tell you is what I experienced firsthand, and this, the great thing is we went through it and we experienced it firsthand, is the amount of trash, clutter, garbage that is no longer in my mind. Oh my gosh. I can go through days and weeks without having to deal with the weight of the negative mindset. Because when you're in a negative mindset, it's heavy. You can go to bed upset, wake up upset. You can wake up upset, go to bed upset. And
over
once
really
you're able
small
to,
things.
Exactly. Once you're able to avoid that, your mind is much more open to other things as opposed to having negative thoughts.
Yeah. I want to touch on one other thing that I think people would find important about this, because lest they think that it's all about just being happy all the time and just accepting things and somehow this Pollyannish version of just, you know, just be happy. There is a thing within positive intelligence called blameless discernment, where you are able, or you also are able, to look at a situation and say, am I overjudging this? Am I over making this more negative than it is? Or is there really a problem here? Because if you just jump into happy and accept everything, I mean, that could be bad too. But taking the time to really think logically, like, is there a problem, or is there something I can fix? Is there something I need to fix? That's different than either reacting blindly or not reacting at all.
Absolutely. And one thing is, I tell my clients, not just my clients, but other people who know I went through the program, I tell them, this is not about being happy. It's about not being negative.
Right.
Because you can be just neutral, you can be cool, you can be whatever. If, as you mentioned, it's not about Pollyanna, it's not about being smile on your face and, oh, everything, the glass is always half full. It's not about that. And the two words you mentioned, I think, are words that I probably use the most with myself and my clients: blameless discernment. Because that goes back to when we're judging ourselves, judging other people. And my client may say, you know, Colin, I feel so bad because I was going to do A, I just didn't do it, and I'm just so... And I say, look, don't even go that far. Blameless discernment, okay? Just talk about the facts, okay? The fact is, you didn't do A, and that's it. That's right. It. Don't take it to, I didn't do A, and once again, I'm not keeping my word. No, just state the facts. And I do that on a daily basis. I just say, Colin, okay, you woke up late today, or you didn't go run today. You're not lazy. You just didn't go run. Now, what can I do to make sure I run tomorrow? So I tell my clients, don't waste time beating yourself or other people up. Ask yourself, what can you do to make sure you're doing what you should be doing, or you're avoiding what you experience? So that blameless discernment is very important, because it's blameless. And discernment means you're just stating the facts. You're stating what happened and carrying on. So it's very important that the clients understand the value of having blameless discernment.
Yeah, and this program is not going to help you go on a run. I mean, it can help you not feel bad for not having gone on the run. There are other techniques to make sure you get your motivation, you get things done, but without the negativity attached to it. Yeah.
Yeah. And Paul, I got to tell you, it's not easy to do as far as shifting your mindset. And, you know, mental fitness is just the ability to go through what I call the ups and downs of this crazy, hopefully long thing called life, while maintaining a positive mindset over a negative mindset. And it doesn't mean that you're always in a positive mindset. I do go to a negative mindset sometimes, but I'll tell you what, two things. I don't stay there long, that's one. And yeah, I don't stay there long. And I know things are gonna shift. I know that this is just temporary, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, in a little while, I'm back. So I don't fight it. I don't fight when I get there. Everybody gets there, but it doesn't last as long. And I have the confidence to know that it's only going to be a temporary thing.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the bad news is that it's not a 6 or 7 week program that will fix you forever. It's learning a new way of being, and it starts you on a road. You're going to feel immediate reaction. Like if you start going to the gym at week 6 or 7, you're going to start feeling a lot stronger and hopefully you're going to look a lot better and everything. But if you quit doing it, it's not going to just stick with you. So you have to keep on working at it. It's not a panacea. Yeah.
You have to keep on. And as I mentioned, I literally do it. I do parts of it every day. And when I don't do it, I can feel a difference. So in the mornings, if I don't go through the application, do a few of the co-challenges, I feel different during the day. So I can feel the impact. Now, I've been very deliberate in this because, you know, my father, his way of raising a child was a little different. My parents argued a lot, and I don't want that. So I'm being very deliberate in making sure that I'm living a life that's calm. Go back 10 years ago, Paul, I was a-hole, okay? I was much more arrogant, I had a quick temper, and now I don't. And it's important for me to raise my kids in an environment where they're not seeing that. I became a father at 48, a little older, mm-hmm. and so I experienced a little more of life. And I've seen people get mad about the same thing or get upset about the same things every year. And to me, that's no growth. So I always ask myself, if I'm getting mad about the same thing I got mad at last year, I'm not growing. So I've been very deliberate in trying to shift my mindset. And everybody can do it, but everybody won't do it. So I really just focus on either myself and my clients and tell you what, I'm being very deliberate in making sure that I'm sticking with the program. I'm making sure, I'll tell you what I do. I literally look at things as opportunities or gifts. And what I mean is I have a colleague who I work with and he's a button pusher, okay? He will push your buttons. And for a long time, he will push my buttons. And I would be on a call with him and Paul, I would yell in the call and he would just drive me crazy. And I said, wait a second. And my wife would say, Colin, don't talk to me after those calls because I'd always come out the room upset. Yeah. So I said, wait a second. This is a great opportunity for me to use these sessions, the time with him at the gym. And I would say, when I'm on a call with him, no matter what he does or says, I will not get upset. Okay. Now I developed empathy for him and myself first, right? Saying he doesn't know what he's doing. He can't control his emotions. And I don't know what's going on in his life. And with me is I shouldn't hurt myself by getting upset. And Paul, over time now, I look at situations like that is how can I develop better muscles here? So to me, situations that get me upset, that's the perfect place for me to start to develop a different outcome. And that is getting to that sage mindset where every opportunity is a gift. And literally, that's what I try to do. So now when I talk to him, I'm excited because I want to say, what new tricks does he have to get me upset? Because he sees I don't get upset, so he tries new things, right? And I think it's great because I can see proof again that I have developed a higher level of mental fitness.
Yeah. What do they say? You can't control how somebody acts, but you can control your reaction to it. I know that's like an old, you know, it's a like, you know, worn out saying, but
it's true.
So true. Yeah. It's so true because you can't control other people. Yeah. Well, this has really been an interesting conversation. I always enjoy talking to other coaches who've experienced positive intelligence who are leading pods because the insights are always different. And the experience is always slightly different, even though we all are using the same methodology to teach it. If somebody's interested in your doing pods or doing coaching with you, you're in China. So are all your clients in China or in Asia or you do?
No, absolutely. Most of my clients, we do coaching now via online tools, be it Zoom and whatnot. So I'm available to coach clients as long as the time zone is manageable. And I have clients literally Africa, North America, of course, Asia, all over the globe.
Okay. And how can people find your, how can they find you for?
Yeah. www.oligye.com. Very simple. Oligye.com.
Okay. We'll put that in the show notes in case people are driving.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, this is about it. I do like to end these with three questions. One, did you have a mantra with your kids that before you learned it, positive intelligence that kept you going, or during positive intelligence that kind of helped you through the more tense moments?
Well, my mantra is, no, not terrible twos, terrific twos. And that really helped, because the kids doing the same thing. My daughter, my wife and I were talking, how's Kaylee going to be? When she was about almost 2 years old, we started seeing her shift, because all babies go from that tender, wonderful to those terrible twos. And I said, honey, no matter what, terrific twos. So my mantra is, no, not terrible twos, terrific twos. And you can apply that to several other things as well.
Yeah, well, I think the parents who've kind of gone through the shift, the mind shift, and changed their reaction to the terrible twos have a lot better experience with the terrible twos than the ones who are, you know, freaked out and who are amping up the child at 2 years old. Okay, and then do you have any advice for young dads maybe getting through those terrible twos?
Yeah, so young dads, I mean, the first thing, I'll say this, develop empathy. And empathy is where you really try to understand and develop compassion for yourself and your child. And before you can develop compassion for your child, you must first develop it for yourself. Understand what you're doing to yourself every time you get upset, every time you get frustrated. You're doing harm to yourself, bottom line is. And now imagine you're doing harm to your young child. You know, whether it be going to bed, whether it be homework, you have to understand what you're doing. So really think back to when you were a child, if your parents ever made you feel a certain way, and try to avoid that. So it's really first develop empathy, and then visualize, sit down on your bed and visualize the same scenario, but taking a more positive outcome, a more positive action, and then actualize it, make it into reality. So 3 steps, empathy, visualize, then realize. 3 steps.
Yeah, and you could do that every day of a child's life. I think that a lot of dads fall into that trap of doing that at one stage and not realizing that the child is continuously evolving. So you have to do this all the time, because if they're at 2 versus 12, you know, at 12 you have to put yourself in a totally different mindset to get that empathy and realize what they're driven by at that
I've
age.
I've heard that. I'm in the junior stage of being a father. That's what I've heard several times.
Yeah, no, it's really key and very appreciated by the kids if you can kind of try to, you know, some inkling. Obviously, you're not going to be the cool dad who does like their total best pal, but the more that you can try to put yourself in their shoes and understand what their, you know, what their hopes and fears are, the better off you'll
Yeah, Paul, that is so true. I have 5 siblings, and they all had their kids when they were in their 20s and 30s. So their kids now are in their, like your kids, 19, 20, and 30, that quite frankly. And when Quincy was about terrible two, I said, you know what? I don't want to spank my child at all.
Oh, yeah.
And my sister said, Colin, spanking is over. We don't do that anymore. No, but we grew up, we got beat, right? So I had to learn that being, you know, how you raise your kids now is very much different from how we were raised. And that's okay. Because some may say, well, you know what, we're being more soft on our kids. Well, good. Be soft on your kids. You can be tough later, but be soft on your kids and you know, just be consistent, right? And make sure they have good morals and this and that. But you don't have to be so tough to raise good kids.
Yeah, I say this quite often on this show about delivering for your kids a storehouse of love and acceptance, so that when they go out in that cruel world, then they'll always feel that inside. I mean, there's going to be hard times enough for them everywhere outside the house. The least they can have is a great time at home. Okay, and then finally, do you have a challenge for, maybe we already just gone through it with empathy, but for dads for the coming week, of something, just one thing that they could just kind of keep top of mind and try to do?
Yes, for 1 week, as in your role as father, every single day, kiss your child and tell your child you love them. And even if your child is a young adult, kiss your child and tell them you love them. Okay, every day for 1 week, very simple. Just kiss your child, mwah, I love you. If your child is young, it's easier. But if your child is above, you know, teenager, maybe a little tougher, but do it anyway. Now, think if your child is a young adult, they'll appreciate it more on day 4 or 5.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really good advice. I grew up without my father present. I'd only see him twice a year, probably. We talked every, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, but he'd always end the phone call by saying, I love you. And that still is a real, you know, important memory for me. It would have been better to have him around, obviously. And that's just a small thing, but reaffirming that is really key and not said enough to all the people we,
And Paul, the good thing about that is it's very easy to do. That little tip, the challenge I gave, it's easy. You know, what if, you heard the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
Yeah.
Paul, if that were true, there would still be sick people. Because sometimes, so dads out there, this challenge is so easy to do, just do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to take that to heart because I think it goes for all the important relationships you have, your partner and friends and everything else is expressing that is a good thing for everybody. It kind of creates a great, you know, virtuous circle that spreads it around. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, this has been fun. Okay. Paul Banas at greatdad.com. You can find my positive intelligence course at greatdad.com/PQ. And until next time, follow Colin's really great advice. Hold your kids close and give them a kiss and tell them you love them. Okay, take care.